Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We're so blessed that each week you take the time and listen to these messages here on the Seed. It's our hope, it's our prayer that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. I know many of you listening can't come to Rancho Cucamonga. That's a great word, isn't it? Cucamonga. But you can always watch us online. You can watch the live stream at our website, www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can always watch our YouTubes on the YouTube channel, which is The Seed Christian Fellowship. We're going to begin a little series this week in Luke 15. We're going to spend several weeks looking at this parable, and I think it's a powerful chapter. Luke 15 illustrates to us God's deep, unfailing love for us. As many of you know, we've had this song out for a long time by Corey Asbury, and it's called Reckless Love. I'd love for you to go listen to it. One of the opening verse, or the verse of the Reckless Love, says, "Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life into me. You have been so kind to me." Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. That's the first verse in the chorus. And as I thought about that, when I first listened to it, I thought, reckless. How could God's love be reckless? Why would we call God's love reckless? What does reckless mean? The word actually means without thinking or caring about the consequences of our actions. Listen to some of the synonyms for the word reckless: impetuous, impulsive, audacious, wild, uncontrolled, and hasty. When you think of God's love, I am sure that none of these words instantly pops into your mind. I would say that God is very controlled, not hasty, careful versus impetuous, cautious versus impulsive, and gentle rather than wild. But the truth is, God's love is wild. It's outrageous. It's enthusiastic. It's uncontrolled. God's love is impetuous, audacious, it's prodigal, extravagant, and lavish. That is what Luke 15 is all about. The extravagant, audacious, outrageous, enthusiastic, uncontrolled, and reckless love of God. Before we go to Luke 15, we need to set a stage just a little bit. First, we'll turn to the prophet Ezekiel. Before we do, let us come to the throne of our outrageous God who loves us with a reckless love in a moment of prayer. Lord God of unfailing love, may your steadfast, outrageous, lavish love fill our hearts today. Let us be transformed by your reckless love. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel 34. We'll read the first 16 verses. The prophet Ezekiel was a contemporary of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah stayed back in Jerusalem after the Babylonians destroyed the city and took the best and the brightest to Babylon. Ezekiel went to Babylon with the captives and prophesied to them. The time is around 571 BC. So this is what was happening 571 years before Christ was born. The prophet Ezekiel had some pretty hard words for the shepherds of Israel. But when we get to the verse 11 through 16, we will hear and see a glimpse of the reckless love of God. Let us turn to God's word. Ezekiel 34, 1 through 16. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to them, This is what the sovereign Lord says, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourself with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals. But you do not care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so that they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has not been plundered and become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than my flock, therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I'll bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and all the settlements of the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have taken them to lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. The sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Now, that's a long reading, and I know I took the time, but God's word doesn't go out void. Did you catch any of the I am or I will statements? He says, I am against the shepherds. He says, I will remove them from tending the flocks. I will rescue my flock from their mouths. I myself will search for my sheep. So I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from places. I will bring them out. I will pasture them. I will tend them. I myself will tend my sheep. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I'll destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Verse 16. Can you imagine for a minute what it would have been like to hear those words from the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel, as you sat in captivity in Babylon waiting to be rescued? Maybe some of us right here, right now, can hear those words. Maybe we are waiting for someone to rescue us from the bondage of our sin, from the bondage of our failures, from the bondage of our past regrets, our hurts, our pain, our fears, our doubts, our debts, and even our shame and guilt, or broken relationships. Simply put, we are waiting for someone to come and be with us and hold us close. Hear the good news from our good friend Dr. Luke about the reckless love of God that comes to rescue us from all places we have been and from the place where we are right now. Luke 15, 1-7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them a parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who do not repent. In 1913, the federal government held a 50th anniversary reunion at Gettysburg. It lasted 3 days. Thousands of survivors bivouacked in the old battlefield, swapping stories, looking up comrades. The climax of the gathering was a reenactment of Pickett's charge. Thousands of spectators gathered to watch as the Union veterans took their position on Cemetery Ridge and waited as their old adversaries emerged from the woods on Seminary Ridge and started forward toward them again across the long, flat fields. "We could see," Myers wrote, "not rifles and bayonets, but canes and crutches. We soon could distinguish the more agile ones, aiding those less able to maintain their place in the ranks. As they neared the northern line, they broke into one final defiant rebel yell. At the sound, after half a century of silence, a moan, a sigh, a gigantic gasp of unbelief rose from the Union men on Cemetery Ridge. It was then," wrote Myers, "that the Yankees, unable to restrain themselves longer, burst from behind the stone wall and flung themselves upon their former enemies, not in mortal combat, but reunited in brotherly love and affection." Well, that's an amazing thing. As we look at the opening of Luke 15, we see two sides. We are presented two different views. Luke tells us that the tax collectors and the sinners were gathering around Jesus just to listen to him and see him. Here is an interesting side note. Tax collectors were so reviled and outcast that their tithes and offerings were not accepted in the synagogue. They could not testify in court. St. Chrysostom preached, "The tax gatherer is the personification of a licensed violence of legal sin, of specious greed." In Jesus' time, tax collectors were worse than the heathen sinners. Both the tax collectors and the sinners needed redemption. They needed to be rescued. They needed God's reckless love. Jesus knew this. What I found interesting in my study were the verbs in the opening sentences. The tax collectors and sinners were gathering. The verb for gathering is in the present tense, which means that the tax collectors were constantly and continually gathering, drawing near, approaching, and coming around Jesus. Wow. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. If you have prayer or need prayer, go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. The tax collectors and sinners were gathering. In other words, they never stopped coming around Jesus. Like a moth to the light, they gathered around Jesus as often as they could. We are told that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were muttering. Have you ever muttered about something or someone? Oh, I know. That's maybe stepping on toes. But I think we've all muttered about something. We all have found ourselves muttering at one time or another. Now, let me clarify. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were the shepherds in Ezekiel who were not doing what they were supposed to be doing, caring for the sheep. Their job was to look after the lost sheep. And the muttering that these Pharisees and teachers of the law were doing was a constant, unending act of complaining, grumbling, and muttering. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law set up this story of the outrageous, audacious, lavish, and reckless love of Jesus when they say, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus now tells the parable of the good shepherd who realized that one of his sheep has wandered off, and he leaves the 99 in order to go find the one that is lost. The word that opened my heart this week is the word that is translated welcomes. The Greek word is prosdekomai. Yes, prosdekomai. prosdekomai in Greek. It means welcome. And it's a verb, and it's a present tense verb in the Greek. That means that the action of welcoming is unending, everlasting, ceaseless, and does not stop. The word prosdekomai is translated with words like welcome, accepts, receives, to have as a guest, to look for, to receive willingly, to receive favorably, to wait for, or to welcome. I don't know. Do you get the picture? Jesus is the good shepherd who goes looking for the lost sheep. When he finds the lost sheep, he doesn't beat or berate the sheep. Jesus receives the lost sheep willingly, favorably, and accepts the lost sheep as a guest and welcomes the lost sheep home with him. When Jesus told the parable of the lost sheep, we are told that the joy and reckless love of God. Why would God go looking for lost sheep? It's not reasonable. That doesn't even make sense. Why would God go looking for a lost sheep? That is not practical or logical. The searching for the lost sheep is reckless, just like Corey Asbury's song says, "Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God." Look at the wonderful "I will" statements in Ezekiel again, Ezekiel 34. He says, "I will look for my lost sheep. I will rescue them from the places. I will bring them out. I will pasture them. I will tend them. I myself will tend my sheep. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak." The people, including the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, would all have recognized the contrast between Ezekiel and what Jesus was saying. Jesus is telling the people about a good shepherd who will do many things for them, including doing these wonderful things for the one who goes off and finds itself lost and alone. And I would love for you to look at a picture of where Jesus is searching for the lost sheep. I can send you one if you want. You can email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. I love the ending of the parable told by Jesus here in Luke 15. "The good shepherd finds the lost sheep. It is tired from wandering. Jesus gently puts the lost sheep on his shoulders, just like he puts up our sins, our failures, our shame, and our guilt on the cross. Then the good shepherd brings the lost sheep home, and there is great rejoicing." So what? So what? Great rejoicing when the lost sheep is brought home? Jesus tells the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not repent." On the 10th of April in 1852, beneath the African sun, died an American. He was laid to rest in a lonely cemetery in Tunisia, Africa. 31 years later, as an act of grateful public, the United States dispatched a man of war to the African coast. American hands opened the grave, placed the dust of his body on board the battleship, and turned again for the native land. Their arrival in the American harbor was welcomed by the firing of guns in the fort and by the display of flags at half-mast. His remains were carried to the nation's capital city in a special train. There was a suspension of all businesses and adjournment of all departments of government, and as the funeral procession passed down Pennsylvania Avenue, the president, vice president, members of the cabinet, Congress, judges of the Supreme Court, officers of the Army and Navy, and a mass of private citizens, rich and poor, stood with uncovered heads. To whom did they pay this homage to? To a man who expressed the longing of his heart rather than the happy experience of his life. A man whose soul longed for the domestic tranquility of a pious home. And he expressed that longing in the words that in a sweet song called "Home, Sweet Home." His name was John Howard Thomas. John Howard Thomas was a man who had died in Africa, and he was the one who wrote the words to the song, "Home, Sweet Home." The lyrics go like this: "Mid pleasures and palaces, though we may roam, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. A charm from the skies seems to hollow us there, which seek through the world is never met elsewhere. Home, home, sweet, sweet home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. An exile from home, splendor dazzles in vain. Oh, give me my lovely thatched cottage again. The birds singing gaily that came at my call and gave me the peace of mind dearer than all. Home, home, sweet, sweet home. There's no place like home." So what? John Howard Thomas was a lost sheep who was finally brought home at a great expense. We are no different with our good shepherd. Jesus will search and search and search for us until we are found. I read an interesting fact the other day that said that people need at least a nudge from God until they finally give God their hearts. That's a reckless love. That's the kind of love we have in our Savior and our good shepherd. I don't know where you are. I don't know if you are in a crowd of tax collectors and sinners, or standing in the crowd of Pharisees and the teachers of the law. What I do know is that the Good Shepherd Jesus has come to welcome you home. Don't let the world and its ways hold you back. Don't let your sin and shame hold you back. Don't let your fears or failures hold you back. The reckless love of God wants to welcome you, accept you, look for you, to receive you willingly and favorably, recklessly and prodigally. He wants to welcome you home. Listen, it's never too late for the reckless love of God to find you and welcome you home. That's the story in Luke 15, 1 through 7. It's the story of a good shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes searching for the one lost sheep. Are you the one lost sheep? Have you never made that decision to ask Jesus into your heart? Listen, today is a great day to say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Accept my life as I give it to you. Turn my life over, and I accept your reckless, audacious, never-ending love. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know that God loves you. God is pursuing you. God will never give up on you. No matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, He knows where you're at now. More importantly, He knows where He wants to bring you. He knows your past. He knows your present. And He knows your future. Today is a good day to run into the reckless, audacious love of God. Let's pray. Jesus, how we thank you for Dr. Luke, who tells your story. Maybe we aren't the lost sheep anymore, Lord. Maybe we know of a lost sheep who needs to be found. We are thankful for your reckless love that abandons the 99 and finds the lost. Right now, we pray for those who are lost. And on this day, we also pray and give thanks for those who have fought for our freedom and given us our freedom. Jesus, thank you for coming to find each one of us. Thank you for welcoming us back home. We celebrate as you continue to find the lost sheep and bring them home. We rejoice greatly. We praise you for your reckless, prodigal love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be studying Luke 15 for the next few weeks. There are some great parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And it's really the story about God's prodigal love. We have a prodigal God that loves and searches for us. I encourage you to go read Luke 15 this week. If you have questions, you can always email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. God loves you. And so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you this day and always. God bless. See you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website. TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.